Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Jake and Stacy is presented exclusively by CarPros Kia Tacoma. You guys are lighting up the phone lines right now. I will try to be fast, but also I want to make sure you guys get a chance to sound off. I'm very interested on this one because I'm ready to sound off. So here's my question. Who are you pinning yesterday's loss on? Offense or defense? Whose fault is it? Offense or defense? Go to line one, Nelson and Kent. Nelson, who are you pinning the loss on?
Hey, guys, I'm going to go with the offense here, but let me just say a quick thing on the defense first. I had very low expectations for this defense coming into this season. I was kind of surprised a lot of people seemed pretty high on it. The corner position is a mess. And for Pete Carroll, who's supposedly a defensive guru, this is going on 4 years now where he just has not been able to fix his defense, and it's been because of bad draft class. Now, let me get to the offense. The offense is where all the talent is, and this offense should be able to put up 30-plus almost every single game. And the second half of that of the game, I mean, I'm seeing the offense from last year. I'm seeing – like, you get a lead, you don't want to step on their throats. Where are the passes across the middle? Like, I'm seeing plays, nobody's going across the middle. There's no usage of tight ends. And Russell, is, like, Jake, I know you're a big Russell guy, and Russell's great, but there's a difference between a Hall of Fame quarterback and an all-time great. And Russell, he had two chances there, and I'm seeing a guy that he's 9-13 against teams above 500 the last 3 years. Everybody, I know quarterback wins isn't a stat, but people like to throw his record out there. Most winning quarterback in his first 9 years, blah, blah, blah. He's 9-13 in the last three seasons against teams 500 or above. He's beaten the bad teams. He's struggled against the good teams. And is that because of him or Pete Carroll? I think it's a mix of both. Like, Pete does not use Russell to his full strength in the way that he should. And it's just not like, I don't know, man. I'm really confused because I feel like there's so much more to tap into that we just don't. And watching these games, it's almost sometimes like watching the Mariners offense. It's just excruciating. I'm like, why is it so hard sometimes?
Oh, man. I mean, Nelson. No, Nelson, if I could whistle like a woo, I would, but I can't. So I'll just do that. That was a great call.
Yeah, Nelson, appreciate you laying it out there for us. And look, I understand the frustration. I was with you all the way until you said Mariners offense. That was like, okay, you stepped too far on the other side of it. But it was a tough watch in terms of the second half, and the things that you pointed out in terms of not utilizing the tight ends, not getting those guys involved. I think that part of it really frustrates and bothers me as well. And I look at the calls and watch the film, and everybody can sit there and say, well, he should have done this, he should have done that in terms of Russell. But I would just encourage you to go and watch the film and say, where do you want him to go? Where do you want him to throw this? And I'm not saying that as an excuse. I'm saying that as I'm confused
where
by the play
calling. Where was a moment in the game when you saw a play
in terms
and said
of
Russell has nowhere to go?
How to highlight and get these guys. Like Gerald Everett, for example, 3rd and 3. That should be a money down for somebody like Gerald Everett. And the play doesn't highlight or accentuate the ability for him to work and find a zone and get open. Like those are the little things that I was looking for and excited about with this offense that wasn't called in those types of moments. So overall, I think that when you're looking at this team against good quality opponents, and Nelson, you threw out 9-13 against teams above 500. I think that is something that is a critique of this team that they have not been able to consistently beat over the last few years good quality teams, good playoff teams. And that is the difference between this organization being a 10-plus win team getting into the playoffs and having early exits.
Yeah, but this is related to Nelson's comment. They have no reason not to. Nelson and I agree on so much with the exception of if I have to choose, it's all of our answers are that it's on both sides of the ball. But if I have to choose, I'm looking at defense because 30 points should be enough. If you score 30 points, you're probably a top 1, 2, 3 team in scoring that year. Two teams, I think two, maybe three, got above 30
last year.
Two teams last year with Green Bay at 31-5. Green Bay at 31-5, who went all the way to the NFC Championship with an MVP caliber season from Aaron Rodgers, 31-5. So 30 points per game is really hard to do. It is fair to expect that from them, but I'm wondering, like, where are the expectations for the defense? Why aren't they higher? It's not like this team doesn't have draft capital invested on defense. It's not like they don't have big salaries invested on defense. The majority of the salary cap is invested on offense, but a lot of that is also because of Russell Wilson, right? That's one player. It's not just because that's where all the talent is. This is a defense on paper that should be better than Tennessee's defense. It should be better than Tennessee's defense. And quite honestly, like, they weren't able to be, certainly in the second half. And I can guarantee you that the defensive players on this team also believe that of themselves. So going to our next caller here, Corey in Puyallup. Corey, who are you pinning that loss on?
I'm going to actually completely disagree with the first caller. Pete Carroll isn't the offensive coordinator. He doesn't really run the offense. I mean, he's the head coach, but, I mean, he's not telling Russ what to do out there. That's all Waldron. I feel like Waldron almost got put in a box this game. It's week two. He's second time ever playing calls. I mean, give the guy a break. I think he'll be fine. We saw that in Indy. I think he just kind of got put in a box, and Norton also just let in the middle of the field. I mean, I could have sat there and got 100 yards. That's why Bobby Wagner got 20 tackles. He was just sitting right 5 yards behind Derrick Henry the whole game. I mean, why don't you put him on him?
So are you putting it on Norton, on the defense?
It's a team effort. Football's a team game. One person doesn't lose a game.
Right, right.
Corey, did I hear you say that you'd get 100 yards in that game?
I mean,
if
I was playing that Derrick Henry position, just sitting there throwing it over the middle every time I was at the game, and he was wide open.
Wait, I just want to make sure. Corey, you are saying that if you were in this game suited up as you, Corey from Puyallup, you would get 100 yards.
I mean, let's be real. All right, whatever. But you guys know.
Yeah,
what I mean.
Corey, you need to be real.
Yes.
You know what I know, I mean. I know what you mean, Corey.
But at the same time, I mean, you can't blame Pete. I mean, and the whole draft thing. I mean, you can't hit on every draft pick. I mean, John Schneider does hit one good pick a year. I mean, if we hit on the draft every year, we'd be winning the Super Bowl every year. I mean, every team hit on the draft is a crapshoot, unfortunately. And the Seahawks do really well in the draft. That's
so Corey, where are you putting the blame? Where are you pinning the blame?
I just think it's week two, and we just kind of had a bad game. It happens. There's 17 games this year. I think Waldron kind of got put in a box. It's his second week. I think feel like he kind of just...
Corey, outside of your take about being able to get 100 yards in this game, you're being way too rational. You're being way too rational about this. I need you to be irrational.
Yeah, I'm one of the one Seahawks fans who doesn't explode once we lose.
All right, thanks, Corey. Corey,
we appreciate
Curtis,
thanks
did you have
call.
Another clip of Corey calling
yeah,
in?
Yeah, Corey, this is not the first time he's appeared on the show.
He showed up earlier.
I'm 26 years old.
All ready to roll.
I played 2 years varsity. I'm in the best shape of my life.
Love you, Corey. Love you. So, Corey, I think ultimately, yeah, looking at it as a level-headed thing, but saying, like, look, it's hard to say that it's on Pete Carroll when Pete Carroll's not calling the offense and the offense fell apart. Going to Robert in Seattle. Robert, who are you pinning the loss on today?
Well, the last guy hit part of it was Shane Waldron, but I don't give him a break. And I was listening to Jake. Jake's played ball, and, you know, some of us old jocks out here, that thing of adrenaline, when you're seeing that the other team is, you know, their energy level seems to be a little higher, I think it's incumbent upon the OC to change rhythms. And in that last drive that we needed some first downs, they had been bringing it too tough to us. So change the rhythm. We didn't change rhythm. And that kind of helps everybody. You're looking for one of those guys on defense out there to make a mistake by doing something different instead of just doing it the same old, same old. And I think that goes to, and as well as Russ, they say he has part, to, a lot of things to say. He can change plays at the line of scrimmage. You know, let's go up-tempo. Suggest, I don't know what you got, what they're doing out there, but it hurt me before the coach even said anything about it. Mm. change rhythm, get the adrenaline up, try to match it. Those guys were dead tired on defense. It wasn't that they played that bad, but they were out there for far too much time. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. Thanks. Appreciate it. The time of possession, to Robert's point, you look at the Tennessee Titans, they had 44 minutes compared to Seattle's, I think it was 22, something along those lines, yeah, in terms of time of possession, the way it's split up. Now, you know, what Robert's talking about is the momentum, the shift, the change, really, that started to happen after that Derrick Henry touchdown. And now the game is, you know, 30-24. So what would help that is sustaining drives, getting yourself conversions, getting yourself first downs, being able to wear down that clock a little bit. And I don't necessarily agree with the tempo part of it, Robert, because in that situation, you are trying to bleed the clock a little bit. You are trying to end the game. But, and especially the second possession they had, you're in 4-minute offense. But the way that I would say is change your approach, make the adjustments from a X's and O's standpoint. Instead of getting in 12 personnel and lining up underneath the center and trying to run downhill, which wasn't working all game long, all right, spread them out. Get into spread runs. Get that thing going. Find some easy completions where you can get yourselves into really manageable third downs. They weren't able to do that enough through that game. And so that's where I would agree with Robert, is the adjustments needed to be made just did not happen in that second half, especially in the fourth quarter.
A lot of calls about offense today. Going to Joseph in Tacoma. Joseph, who are you pinning yesterday's loss on, offense or defense?
First off, afternoon, guys.
Hello, Joseph.
Hello.
And don't worry, Stacy, I will be a bit irrational for you.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks. You guys, it's such a small request. All I need for you guys to do is be irrational.
So, yes, you could make a valid argument that the offense was to blame. After all, they did essentially nothing that entire second half. But the hard and simple truth is, it's clearly the defense. Pete Carroll's defense, unfortunately, has been on a steady decline over the last couple of years, and specifically the secondary.
Mm. Yeah, that's kind of what Nelson was saying earlier in the show, too. Do we still have Joseph on the line? Joseph, you still there? Is there something where you're looking at it and you're saying this has been the common problem with them falling off?
Absolutely. I'm glad that's a great question, Stacy.
Thank you. Give me a good question.
Wow. Come on, Joseph. You're setting her up.
My bad. Look at their draft picks over the past 5 seasons. You can't name 3 starters that on the defensive side of the ball that they've drafted in the past 5 years.
Yeah, it's a good point. And it's exactly what I was thinking with when we're talking about the expectations for this defense. You guys are going to get so tired of me saying this. But I agree with Nelson making this point, now Joseph, that, like, yes, the expectations are lower and that they're coming off a worse year compared to the offense. The offense has the franchise guy, the $35 million per year quarterback, all of these investments, the new OC. That's where you have to win it. But you're looking at the defense as like, well, wait a minute. You've made first-round picks on defense. You've made second-round picks on defense. They just aren't working out so far. You've made investments on defense, paying Bobby Wagner $18 million, paying Jamal Adams nearly as much, breaking the record for safety contracts by a couple million there. Those are two first-team All-Pros. You've made investments in free agency, making a trade for Quandre Diggs, who's great, making a trade for Carlos Dunlap, who's great. I mean, a lot of it just didn't show up yesterday, and you allowed 532 yards. To me, that is an inexcusable sum from a defense with so much talent and with investment in it. And it sounds like I'm being harsh, sounds like I'm being mean. Like, all of these guys are really nice guys. We've interviewed so many of them. And all of these guys would also tell you that their own expectations for themselves are higher.
I believe that when you're talking about this defense overall, it's been tough to watch this group. And as you say, steady decline. I'm not ready to say that this defense is declining after we watch them have a very good performance against the Colts.
Well, I think people are looking at it from prior years.
I agree. But you also have to give this some life in terms of where this goes here in week 3, week 4, week 5. but it scares you based off of past and previous
experiences.
Well, that's
why I'm like, why are we waiting to see where it goes? Like, so I shouldn't look back at 2019 and say they started the year giving up 506 yards in week one, and then 400-something yards the week after that, and 500-something yards the week after that. The reason that people are concerned about it is because it's not something new. It's because it happened a calendar year ago.
No, it did, but what I'm saying is I truly still believe that this defense has improved. I believe that this unit is improved from the personnel perspective, and that when you look at this game, you look at what happened in the fourth quarter, is that indicative of who this team really is? Because I will say that in the first half of this game, they played a pretty darn good game. In the third quarter, they played a pretty darn good game, and everything started to fall apart, really, after that 60-yard touchdown. Then everything, the wheels fell off for this defense. So they got themselves into a really bad spot. They weren't able to get themselves out of it. The offense certainly didn't do their part to help the defense in that regard. But you're right, 30 points should be a marker that should give you a comfortable lead, should give you a position within the going into the fourth quarter with two scores ahead. You should be able to bank on that with a good team, not a 500 level team, but a good playoff team like the Seattle Seahawks are.
All right, going to line five, Lance in Chicago. Hello, Lance, calling from Chicago. Who are you pinning the loss on?
How you guys doing? Big Seahawks fan, and I listen to you guys all the time. I'm putting the blame on the defense as well. I think 30 points is plenty. And let's face it, we've all been spoiled to see Russ come in the fourth quarter and win games for us. So he doesn't do it this time. Yeah, it sucks, but it is what it is. I'm more worried about why guys on the other team, you know, why are we allowing guys to be wide open all the time, down the middle, just wide open? How many times did we see Derrick Henry not only kill us with his run, but then he'd get loose, stand in the middle, catch a pass, and then run for a first down? I mean, it was like we want to blame the offense for not coming back in the fourth quarter. We should have never been in that position in the beginning. So, yeah, it was a rough loss, but I tell you what, this defense scares me. I'm worried about the pass, and I don't know what we do about it, but to me, you guys said it yourself, we didn't have a pass rush. That's the defense. I just think it was more on the defense than the offense.
All right, thanks, Lance. Do you have a...
Yeah, Lance, thanks for the call. Appreciate you hanging out with us, and hope to hear from you again here soon. You know, this is the tough part, because when it comes to the late game and the late lead, the offense didn't spark the 60-yard touchdown run by Derrick Henry that flips the game completely. But this is a tough question, because who am I pinning the loss on? I'm pinning it on everybody. I am pinning it on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It is defense. It is offense. It is the offense and defense's job to have a symbiotic relationship there between playing and complementing one another. The defense, they were out there on the field for way too long. Part of it, self-inflicted issues and things that they weren't able to get themselves off the field. But when they needed the offense to be able to sustain drives, they weren't able to do so. So it flips the clock right back on the defense. So that part of it, to me, the offense doesn't get off the hook for not being able to convert on third down, not being able to sustain drives there in the fourth quarter, or not being able to come back and win the game in overtime. That, to me, they're not off the hook for. But defensively, to Lance's point, I mean, there was so much wrong with the defense in the second half that, it's not funny. Right. And you talk about from the secondary perspective, you have nobody in the secondary that's making plays. You have nobody from a cornerback perspective that is making plays on the ball. They are reacting instead of anticipating, driving and driving to the ball and making plays on the ball. And they were holding on for dear life. I mean, thank goodness A.J. Brown had a terrible game. Thank goodness A.J. Brown had alligator arms multiple times in the game.
How about thank goodness that touchdown from Jones was called back?
Yes, absolutely.
That was a touchdown.
That too. I mean, that was great. That was a much needed callback that I couldn't believe that they did. But I mean, as much problems as there was for the offense, the defense doesn't get a pass on this.
Going with Randall in Lake City, line four. Randall, who are you pinning it on?
How you doing today?
Good. Thanks, Randall. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm going to take a different turn here and say special teams.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Randall.
The offensive
you can explain this one.
Have off days, but giving them 100 yards and penalties sure didn't help. But mathematically, we had an 8-point lead on them throughout the game, which is a 2-score lead. And when Myers missed that extra point, that took the mathematical equation out of the deal. and so they could easily tie the game. So at the end of the game in regulation, we would have won 31-30.
Honestly, Randall makes...
I know it sounds...
No. I like it because it's unique, and it's not my answer, but I see what you mean in that if he makes that PAT the Titans have, let's say everything else falls into place the exact same way, well, the Titans have to go forward on two. Like, you still put them in a weird spot as opposed to tying, sending it to overtime. Like, it did alter the course of the game. I like the answer, Randall. I like it.
Would have had to go for two, and then if they didn't get it, they would have lost anyway. But
right.
Going tied and then going into the overtime, we get the ball, luckily, and couldn't do anything with it. So I don't blame, like, Salk blamed Wilson. I don't go for that.
Salk blamed Wilson? I'm going to give him a hard time.
It's all on him because he's...
Come on. I'm sorry. Look, here's the thing. So many people, I feel like here, particularly anyone on this show, but like if I come out and say like Russell Wilson wasn't the biggest problem, I feel like so many people are like, what are you talking about? You're just defending him. In what world did you watch this game and think Russell Wilson was the biggest problem from the game?
What they say, what immediately comes back is that he's a franchise quarterback. He is an MVP caliber player.
Great.
And you pay him $35 million to win you those games.
You pay him $35 million to get you a couple touchdowns and also to not turn the ball over and get you 30 points. You pay him $35 million for that?
Yeah, you pay him for that
too. You better make sure he did that in this game. Let me look at my stat sheet because I am not... Oh, I'm sorry. He did do that. He did exactly that. And yes, I do think that your $35 million per year quarterback, who has said he wants to be MVP, he wants to, it is on him sometimes to play hero. That's not fair. That's the way it works. Sorry. How it's going to have to work if you're that guy.
And
but you know
also,
what?
You're not going to win every one of those outcomes. It doesn't mean that
no.
I don't think he should. Oh, it's okay that he didn't do it. I'm saying that. You're not, every single one of these guys isn't going to do that. That's why I'm not sitting here pinning it solely on him, nor do I think it should be solely on any individual person. I think everyone wears the blame for this loss, and anybody that says differently, I just can't get on board with that.
All right. So we are, do we have time to take it?
Let's take it around the court.
Okay, we're going to take it around the break. If you're on right now, just because we have full lines, you guys are awesome. I don't want to cut anyone off here, which is so counterintuitive. We are still taking your calls. If you are on right now, do not hang up. More calls right around the corner.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
All right, heading back to phone lines. I want to make sure we get to the rest of the callers. So I'm not going to take any more calls, but just you guys were all waiting so long and you're so awesome. Shout out to Jermichael, who unfortunately, Jermichael, we lost you. We lost one.
He'll be back.
Don't worry. He'll be back. Going to Christian in the 206. Christian, who are you pinning yesterday's loss on today?
Happy Monday, y'all.
Happy Monday.
Yeah, as we know, you know, everybody's going to go offense, defense, yada, yada. I'm going to go completely irrational because that's exactly what you asked me to do, Stacey.
You guys have all been so great.
Out. I have the GOAT. The other guy that we signed to an extension this offseason, everybody forgets about, Michael Dixon. I need the GOAT punter, the man from Australia, to put us in a better position with more than two punts down inside the 20 yesterday. Big Mike, we need you with at least three or four of those, partner.
I like imagining Christian at like a meeting with the team afterward on Tell the Truth Monday. Everyone says their piece and Christian's like, yeah, I just want to call out Mike. Yeah, Mike, appreciate what you were trying to do.
Dixon had a 51-yard average yesterday too.
Christian, I love it. I still love it. You know what? Actually, Christian, the second person to call in about special teams.
Yeah, he is the second person to call about special teams.
I love it.
You know, I think that when you're talking about this, look, Christian brings up a point in terms of Michael Dixon. Michael Dixon would tell you himself that he wants to pin guys within the 20.
Yeah.
Now, did he flip the field ultimately? Yes, he did. But it was the difference between them getting pinned inside the 10 versus the 20. Now, do I view that as the reason why they lost the game? No. But it certainly... all of it helps. All of it comes together. And I point to more of, you know, Randall in Lake City. No one wants to really point this out, but and focus on it, but that extra point was huge. It came up huge, and the difference between the Titans having to kick the extra point to send it into overtime versus having to go for two, it changes the complexion of the game. It changes the complexion of the way you approach it if you're the Titans, and maybe you're not as patient as the way that they were in that second half or in that fourth quarter in particular. So I do think that there's something to be said about that, and that's why, again, I will say time and time again, there is not one individual person that I will pin this on that I've seen across the board on Twitter and on the text line. Everyone wears this loss. This is a team loss if I've ever seen it. And this is, unfortunately, this was an embarrassing loss, a home loss that you should have had in your home stadium that was there for the taking. You should be 2-0 heading in with an opportunity to go 3-0 against the Vikings team that's really been struggling, especially defensively. So this is really frustrating to be in this position right now if you're a Seahawks fan and you're everybody. And I understand the angst and the frustration and the anger and all of that, but that's how I view this. This is very much a team loss with a lot of concerns as you're moving forward.
We have a caller all the way from California, Daryl, calling from Rockland, California. Daryl, who are you pinning this loss on?
Actually, I first was going to blame it just solely on Waldron, but I'll actually add Pete Carroll and Ken Norton as well. First on Waldron, like Jake was mentioning earlier, time of possession 42-22, two punts versus six punts, and their offense really was like COVID. They had a false positive. The quick touchdowns, one to Tyler and one to Swain, those are a little misleading because one was a blown coverage and the other just happened to luck out where Lockett catches it and he splits the two guys and runs for a touchdown. So those are 14 points right there. And I think the team and the fans got excited by those two touchdowns. And so instead of having the two quick touchdowns, that created an illusion that everything was fine when, in fact, going back to the time of possession, should have taken the Titans play calling and did the checkdowns. There was no checkdowns, very little short passes, and eat up the clock. I mean, he's been a quarterback. He knows moving the chains is the name of the game, not throwing long bombs and
okay,
quick touchdown. That's not the name of the game.
Daryl, if you see a break in coverage, if you see blown coverage and your receiver nearly 70 yards or 50-something yards down the field flagging you down, you're telling me you're going to be like, you know what, it's just this isn't what football's really about. I'm going to move the chains with a 10-yard completion instead. No, you're taking that pass.
You're going to take the pass, but look at what happened, like especially in the example of the overtime. Those were longer passes. So now you don't complete the first or second down pass. Now you're third and long. And now they're going to tee off on your offensive line that's actually pretty weak. So Russell was in trouble most of the time on his passes, and he happened to get those two passes off. So great. Those are touchdowns that obviously will take it. But that's what I'm saying is look at most of the organizations that are successful. It's moving the chains. And somebody mentioned earlier, the defense was exhausted. Having played defense, having coached defense, nothing more frustrating than being on the field like the whole game. You go in, it's how many three and outs did they have? As a defense, if you've been out there and all of a sudden you got to turn around again, and it's like, holy smokes, can we have some sustained type of offensive play calling? And that didn't happen.
All right, Daryl, thank you for... All right, thank you for calling in. I'm sorry to cut you off. We have to move on to one more.
And another thing.
No, I felt bad about it. It was a good.
He's still rolling.
Yeah, good call, Daryl. I have to get to one more. I have 1 minute left.
Move.
Okay, Zach and Bonnie Lake. Zach, you're the last caller. I want to make sure I get to you. So, who are you pinning the loss on from yesterday?
How you guys doing?
Good, Zach. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, real quick, I got a unique connection with Jake.
Oh,
first
yeah.
of all, with his with his mom, Mrs. Kelly Heaps, my wife does her eyelashes. So tell your mom that Rachel says hi.
All right, I will make sure that I will definitely tell her that. She'll be fired up.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then also my last game ever as a high school
football player came at a defeat to Mr. Jake Heaps and the and the Spartans over there, Skyline.
Way to go, so, Jake.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
Yeah. You guys were pretty good. But, hey, so like you said, man, it was a team loss on everybody. At the end of the day, though, if you have to pin it on somebody, you got to pin it on the offense. The two main reasons is, number one, is third downs. We killed ourselves on third downs all day, left our defense in horrible positions. And number two, if you think about it, when we went into overtime, our defense went out, made a huge stop, did what they were supposed to do. Offense gets the ball, does nothing, gets put on the one-yard line, puts our defense in a horrible position. They still step up, get the stop, and, you know, the Titans hit the field goal. But definitely a team loss, but if you had to put it on somebody, if you look at overtime, you look at third down, I think you got to put it on the offense.
All right. Thanks, Zach, for the call. That was Zach from Bonnie Lake. In the final, like, 30 seconds here, Jake, both of our last callers, Daryl and Zach. Daryl, sorry, I hung up on you. I had to keep going.
Stacey feels really bad about this, by the way.
Sorry, Daryl.
She's going to send you a Christmas card.
Both
She's
going to
invite
guys,
you in studio.
You know what? All of our callers today were fantastic. I really did appreciate everyone's call, even though a lot of them I disagreed with, but still some great points were made. I mean, ultimately, if I have to pick a side, it's going to be on defense, but there's plenty of blame to go around for everyone.
There is, and if you were to force me to pick one side, I would differ from you, Stacey, and I would say that it would be the offense. And the reason for that being is because of the fact that this group should be the stabilizer. This group, with everything going wrong, should be able to step into chaos and should be able to right the ship, should be able to get those third downs and sustain some of those drives with the opportunity to win the game in overtime. Those are the moments that you look at this group and you want to sit there and say, the moment that Russell Wilson touches the field, yeah, game's over. And everybody in that stadium knows it. And it happens more often than not, but you still want to see him come through in those moments. You want to see the offense come through in those moments. And that's what was tough for me in this game. But, I mean, you put up 30 points, you should win any game. You should feel very good about your chances to win any game scoring 30.
All right, what I need to know is coming up next. You guys already know how it works, but get your questions in. 710-710, Mac and Jack's text line. Turning it over to you guys again. Jake and I taking your questions. Any question you want, text it right now. 710-710. What I need to know right around the corner.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Driven by CarPros Kia of Tacoma.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
What I need to know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get your questions in. 710-710, Mac and Jack's text line. Jake and Stacy, by the way, presented exclusively by CarPros Kia Tacoma. Do you think this is the same Joseph that called? Joseph from the 360 says, what I need to know. By the way, I love it. It touches my soul. When people abbreviate what I need to know, it feels like we all know each other here. Win 2K. Is it possible the Seahawks have the worst defense in their own division? And if so, how did that happen? From Joseph.
No, this is Joseph in Tacoma. No doubt.
How did that happen? That's actually a great question. Now,
I would say as of right now, yeah.
Talent acquisition.
Yes.
I don't think it's... How can you say it's just coaching when Pete Carroll has also overseen one of the best defenses, maybe the best defense of the last 10 years?
Well, here's the difference, though, is it's not just coaching. It's more, to me, has to do with talent acquisition to fit the style in which you want to play.
Yeah, but Pete Carroll had to get all that talent together.
Yeah.
He's in personnel acquisition as well.
Yeah,
I think
we're saying the same thing.
Yeah,
I'm saying that talent acquisition is a big part of it, that they have not done an effective job of that aspect of it to field and play the style of defense that Pete Carroll wants and the style of defense that he needs to have this defense be at its best. And one of the clear areas that we've continued to keep pointing at is they've spent their money on the back end in terms of the safeties. But I would look at the pass rush. I mean, you can't have a game where your defensive line doesn't truly take over and affect the game, and you can legitimately have your four rush and you can drop back seven and feel very good about where you're at and to feel good about the coverage that you have, and guys are playing aggressive or responding or not reacting, but they're anticipating. We're not seeing much of that right now with this defense. And when you look at other defenses within the division, the Cardinals are really starting to take off. You see the You see the Rams, you see the 49ers. They know who they are, and they've been able to stack their roster accordingly. Now, it doesn't mean that it's perfect, but I think that they have more of a talent acquisition to fit more of the style of defense that they want to play than the Seahawks do right now.
What I need to know is Jared Kelnick the greatest baseball player to ever grace this earth? It's a good question. I mean, right now.
Yeah, I think so.
Right, according to him up there with, let's see, I've got a tie. It's a four-way tie between Jared Kelnick, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth.
Yeah, before I say this, just know my son is 5 years old.
And thinks the answer is yes.
He thinks the answer is yes. He thinks that it's him and Ken Griffey Jr. And the only reason why he knows about Ken Griffey Jr. is because he got his baseball card randomly in a stack. And so, therefore, I started telling him about Ken Griffey Jr. and who he is and all that. So, it's Ken Griffey Jr. and Jared Kelnick in Mariners lore and in baseball lore, according to him. And I am just hoping and crossing my fingers that eventually it does come true, because I have invested cash money into, you know, these Jared Kelnick jerseys that him and I wear to the games. And it's a blast. It's so much fun watching it through his eyes and seeing the potential of this new generation of Mariners fans growing up with winning baseball. And you just hope that Jared Kelnick's definitely a huge part of that.
What I need to know, as a kid, I used to spread mashed potatoes on garlic bread. Honestly, that sounds pretty good. What's a weird food combo you used to eat? I'll still eat it. It's baked beans on hot dogs, in the bun. But the thing is, you guys are making this sound gross. You toast the bun, you put the hot dog in it, you put the baked beans, a little bit of bacon on top of that. Maybe you get some onions in there. It's delicious.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. It's wildly strange to me. But the nice thing about being a picky eater is you don't really have these weird combinations of foods that you just mash together and put together. So for me, I'm sorry for any of you that hate these type of people, but I am a picky eater, and so I don't really put my food together or mash my food together.
Yeah, I've never been one to do that. Like, people who put like their fries in ice cream.
I've tried it. It's okay. It's just not better than fries and ketchup.
Yeah, fries and ketchup or fries and ranch.
How do you feel about like an egg on a burger?
I love it.
What about
that's good.
What about chips? Chips on a sandwich.
Yeah, I love that.
Those are, you could argue, kind of weird. What was that peanut butter and jelly situation?
Oh, yeah,
situation?
Grilled peanut butter and jelly. You grill
was
the
that
bread.
It? Oh, that doesn't sound as exciting as I. Yeah, today I learned Stacy is a 55-year-old dock worker. You guys are awful. Awful. I saw someone else talk about the broken coverage on the play to Freddie Swain, being like, even Stacy could have thrown that.
Ooh, just enjoying your day.
Right?
I do have to ask this question, because I will be at the Puyallup Fair. Anybody that says it's the Washington State Fair, I immediately disown you.
No,
never call
it
that ever
earlier.
Again, okay?
I've never seen
never,
you.
Ever. It's the Puyallup Fair, okay?
I've never seen you get more
I
upset
will not
with
allow
me.
Anybody that listens to the show go corporate. We are not corporate sellouts. This is the Puyallup Fair. You hear me?
Oh, my
okay?
God.
Okay? Now that we've got that established, what should I eat at the Puyallup Fair? There are so many options. It
Ooh.
Overwhelms me.
I mean, scone, obvious.
The scones. Time.
The scone line, when I was there, granted, it was a Saturday evening. The scone line was, you would have been waiting for an hour at least.
Yeah.
I had an ice cream cone with sprinkles on it. I thought it was good.
Ice cream cone with sprinkles?
Yeah.
That's
Stacey,
only
you could get that anywhere.
I don't know.
You
it
get a
was
Krusty
good.
Pup. You get some barbecue Pete's. They got a nice pit barbecue going on there.
Elephant ears.
Earthquake burger.
I did have an earthquake burger
there.
2 years ago, and boy,
you're
did
still
that,
feeling it?
Yeah. That was an experience of a lifetime. It was worth it, though. elephant ear, of course. Is there any?
Oh, you got to stop by the free milk booth, the Wilcox Milk. They just hand out samples of like chocolate milk all day.
Like straight from a cow?
No, Stacy, from cartons. They're not hooking the
udder
up to
it's
your
a,
cup.
It's a fair, so I thought maybe that was like part of the appeal of it. Like, hey, we have these cows for sale, and by the way, you can try milk. We'll give it to you right from the
They're
cow.
They're not selling cows at the fair. They're just showing them off.
I thought you could buy them.
There's not like some cattle auction at the fair.
So they just bring them there.
Yeah.
To what?
to show them off.
So the kids can look at them. Yes. No.
Stacey,
it's so you can buy them.
They're not auctioning off cattle at the Washington State Fair, the Puyallup Fair.
I don't. Did you just hear Curtis call it the Washington
State
Fair?
I'm just saying for everybody out there that's trying to differentiate.
Someone said, yes, Stacey, chocolate milk straight from the cows. Oh, ending on a strong note. All right,
yeah,
you guys, it was a tough weekend, but it's been an awesome show.
This was therapeutic.
It was. Appreciate your guys' texts, your calls. You guys have all been so awesome today. Don't go anywhere. Don't forget, Wyman and Bob are coming up next, and then they are taking you right into the Mariners pregame show after their show. So just stay tuned right here to 710 ESPN Seattle. This has been Jake and Stacey. We'll be back tomorrow.